The death of Arizona Republic reporter Don Bowles in 1976, following the bombing of his car in downtown Phoenix, resonates today in this city and the broader world of journalism. Recently, a Republic team led by longtime reporter Richard Ruelas found a relative treasure trove, cassette recordings that Bowles had made. They included conversations and thoughts on stories he was working on. Today, the Republic has released a podcast using Bowles' own voice and reporting to tell one of his investigative stories, when he looked into mob connections in the dog racing industry.
In all this discussion, this is strictly between us, in fact, the whole conversation is, did you get a feeling that Marth Finley and Butler were hanging back, trying to prevent anything being done?
The cassettes that Ruelas and the team found were not in great condition. Not a surprise, since they're more than 40 years old. When he and I spoke, I asked him to describe his reaction to the fact the tapes still existed.
If there are artifacts in here, these shouldn't be stored in a warehouse somewhere. You know, these need to be somewhere, housed somewhere. Yeah. And should we take one more look at them to see what's here? So he assigned me to go down there. And I figure he assigned me because I'm an Arizona native. I recognize some of the names that maybe others might not. So, and it paid off. I mean, names like Hobo Joe's or Shattuck or, you know, I think everyone would figure out Goldwater, but there are some names of politicians and notable types that I, as an Arizona native, like, oh, yeah, I know what Hobo Joe's was.
Yeah.
So he assigned me to go down and just start going through these drawers. And in one of the drawers, I found a manila envelope, and inside were cassette tapes. We're talking Radio Shack brand, realistic 90-minute cassette tapes. Oddly enough, the pull tabs that keep you from accidentally erasing had not been taken off these cassette tapes. These were, because I imagine for a lot of the time, I mean, I used to tape a lot of interviews on cassette. You could just reuse them over, you know, and the scratching of notes on the cassette labels were like in pencil and didn't quite make sense. It might have been the system they had that I didn't quite get. It wasn't like the cleanest audio archiving system imaginable. But I did think that for all the times, and you could tell there were notes left from other reporters over the years, for all the times that these notes had gone through, no one had ever really done anything with the audio because we couldn't. Mm-hmm. We were a newspaper that dropped on your driveway and you read. We never got into playing with audio. Now that we have a website and we're trying to get into the world of podcasting more, you know, there's two podcasts now, The Gaggle and Valley 101. And the thought was, well, my thought was, this could be new. Let's see what's on these cassettes.
Mm-hmm. You're a guy who loves history, too. What was it like to hear Bowles' voice for the first time after reading about him and knowing his stuff?
That was a trip. I assumed that I would eventually hear Bowles' voice on these cassettes, but I have no idea what the man sounds like. In our newsroom are the pictures of Don Bowles and Charles Thornton. Charles Thornton died on a reporting trip in Afghanistan, and Don Bowles, of course, died from a car bomb in June 76. I'd seen what Don Bowles looked like. I can't imagine what voice comes out of that face.
Yeah. Had you ever thought about it?
No. Because for so many years he was a picture on a wall, I never thought about him being an animate object that moved and talked. And, you know, it's just that frozen image. And there's only a few pictures of Don Bowles really that are used. And that's all I had of him. I didn't think about what he would sound like or how his presence would be. You read stories about what kind of reporter he was, but it's a different thing to actually hear him reporting and to hear him on a phone call. To the point of these tapes, you asked what shape they're in. These were just the labels alone. Again, they were weathered. A lot of them were, there was scotch tape holding them together. There was no cassette player at the Republic newsroom, oddly enough. So I took them home where I had a dual cassette deck, and my wife had gotten me a one of those vinyl turntables that plugs into your computer. You can digitize audio. So I used that. It had an auxiliary plug, and I figured out how to make the cassette deck talk to my computer. And I had to reasonably assume that I get one go at these. This is 45-year-old.
No pressure there, huh?
Yeah. Hit play, cross my fingers, and hope for the best.
What story with the piecing together of these cassettes were you trying to tell about Don Bowles and the work he did?
The story we end up finding is a tale that happened to Don Bowles in 1970. And one reason I think he preserved these tapes and didn't just reuse them and tape over is that this is the kind of story that haunts him. There's reason to believe from the folks we talked to and from listening to the cassettes that what happened to him in 1970 shook him to the core, shook him professionally. It shook him as a person, as a man, that people he was reporting on, he was looking at the dog racing industry at the time, Phoenix Greyhound Park. The dog racing industry came after him with such zeal and used some methods of going after him that were unusual, a little extreme, and they made Don Bowles question nearly everything in his life. Mm-hmm. And although the story that we're telling kind of wraps up in 1973, it seemed like it was on his mind mm-hmm. all the way up to the day of the bombing, that he never let this story go.
So considering we started in 1970, and you said this particular story ends around 1973, the fact that he seemed so affected by this and these methods used against him, do you think he anticipated meeting an untimely demise? Do you think that this was just in his blood as a journalist, that he had to keep going regardless of whether it may end badly as it did?
Yes, I think he did worry about his personal safety. And I think even in this story we're telling in 1970, he took steps to guard against someone coming after him in a deeper way. I think by 1976, he thought this was all behind him. The people he was reporting on, he was covering the day-by-day goings-on at the legislature for the most part, and he had reason to believe that all the days of someone coming after him or him looking over his shoulder, he left that behind. The fact he died the way he did, and I can say this now, he, as a young man, because I'm now older than Don Bowles was when he passed, which also was a realization I had listening to these tapes, I think it was an outsized gallows humor where he was thinking about his death. I think it's just because we know how he passed, some of the things he says on these tapes makes you just ring to the ear differently because we know he passed. But as he was reporting heavily on the mafia and on what he saw as corruption in the dog racing industry, there are passages on the tapes that do seem to indicate he was extremely worried about who was going to come after him and exactly how they would do it.
That is Richard Ruelas of the Arizona Republic. We're talking about a new podcast, Rediscovering Don Bowles, a Murder Journalist, which launches on November the 5th. Richard, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.